Well, let's please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 26, where we're going to pick up. Last week we had a Thanksgiving emphasis, and thanks to Joel for ministering the word last week and in that emphasis. While Winnie and I were down visiting our youngest son down in Oregon, and that was a blessed time too. And so 2 weeks ago, we saw that Solomon was blessing the people and offering sacrifice as they were dedicating, continuing in the dedication of the temple, and how Solomon's wealth was accumulating and his popularity and international popularity. And we're going to see more of that today. And in 1 Kings 9:26, it says that King Solomon also built a fleet of ships at Ezion-Geber, which is near Elat, on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. Then Hiram sent his servants with the fleet, seamen who knew the sea, to work with the servants of Solomon. And they went to Ophir, which is India by most accounts, and acquired 420 talents of gold from there and brought it to King Solomon. And so international trade, opening of sea lanes for trade and confiscation probably, starting at the times of Solomon as they were going around the different parts of the world getting goods and services. And and that all contributed to his wealth. In chapter 10, verse 1, now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. And the queen of Sheba literally was in the area of what's called Yemen today. You've probably heard Yemenites in the news because our war and terror is there in Yemen and things have happened. And but it's also historically known that the Yemenites immigrated before this time into right across the pond, you know, the Gulf of Aqaba there, the Red Sea, over to Ethiopia. And so the Queen of Sheba could have been Queen of Ethiopia. She could have been coming from that area. And actually, Arabic tradition says that that's where she was from. So it was Ethiopia. And then in verse 2, it says, she came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. So again, God had miraculously given Solomon wisdom because he asked for it, greater than any man that would ever live besides Jesus. And the whole world, as we're going to find in the ensuing verses, the world would take billions of dollars worth of wealth. And literally, I mean, some of the gold that came in to Solomon on a yearly basis was billions. And we don't know how much she brought, but maybe millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, because she wanted wisdom. She wanted the questions of life answered. She went and asked Solomon, and Solomon answered every single question she had about life. We don't know what the questions were. We don't know what the answers were. But she was willing to bring all this wealth to find the answers to life. And so that's a lot like what we do with Jesus, isn't it? Only we bring our poor, wretched souls to him. We have nothing to offer. But we come to Jesus, and he's not saying, I'm not going to hear you because you don't have any gold and silver and camels and precious stones and spices. He just says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me if you have questions. And yet so many people today, even though it's free, even though we can go to Jesus and we go to his word, we can get the wisdom of how we can have everlasting life. And most people don't even give it a single second to think about. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 31, when his own generation, seeing Jesus, seeing the things that he was doing, and that generation rejecting him, he says this, the queen of the south, meaning the Queen of Sheba, will rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Jesus saying, I'm greater than Solomon. She got all of her questions answered by Solomon, but I have all the answers and life itself. I'm greater than Solomon. And this generation I'm looking at, they're not even coming next door to see me. And she will, and Jesus is being literal here. I get this picture on Judgment Day of the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20. And he's standing there for all the unbelieving dead are brought before Jesus. And he is now sending them all to the lake of fire. And they're going to say, well, I didn't know. And the Queen of Sheba is going, you got to be kidding me. I heard about Solomon and I got my camels loaded up. I took my servants and I went to go listen to some wisdom. Why didn't you? You heard about Jesus. Why didn't you pick up a Bible? You heard about Jesus. Why didn't you ask a Christian to tell you what it is to be saved? Why did you tell other Christians I sent to you to get away from you because you didn't want to hear what they had to say? I went and sought wisdom. I found it from God and I am here in heaven and you're condemned. That's what Jesus is saying. She's in heaven. She's going to be standing there condemning the people who are rejected to hear the message of Jesus. And Jesus gives us all the answers of life. It says in 2 Peter 1:3 that we recently studied, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So she got all our answers. We get everything. We get everything we need for life and godliness from our Solomon, Jesus, who is not charging us for that. He's giving it to us as a free gift for those who humbly come to him. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. In other words, she had her mind blown. She could not handle it. She was completely overwhelmed with the greatness of Solomon's palace, his wealth, his cupbearers, the fact that all of his cups were made of gold, we're going to find out. There was not a single thing made of silver in his house because silver was as common as stones. And she just like, what am I doing here? And she was overwhelmed, completely dumbfounded. And how does that compare with what we're going to be doing? We're going to be seeing Jesus. We're going to be going to heaven. The streets are paved in gold. We're going to be dumbfounded that look at what Jesus has done and prepared for us when we go to heaven. And that's, you know, after the 1,000-year reign. I'd imagine that the 1,000-year reign of Jesus here on earth is also going to be just like so overwhelming to all the earth's inhabitants that are allowed to come into that 1,000-year reign at the end of the tribulation period, when it says that the whole planet's going to be cleaned up. There's not going to be any trash. There's not going to be any contamination. And, you know, all the rivers are going to be restored with fish and other things that are explained in Ezekiel and other sections of Scripture in the Old Testament. Then she said to the king, verse 6, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. And then this is important how she says it. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord. See, she goes, not only the Lord your God, but now she's saying because the Lord, meaning her Lord, too. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness. So she embraced the God of Israel. She had heard about it. She didn't believe it, but she took the effort to go find out for herself. And when she did, she saw that all that she had heard was true and not even, you know, actually more, greater than what she had heard. Isn't that true for all of us? We heard about Jesus. We bowed the knee and it And really, when we actually were filled with the Spirit and the ability to know who Jesus is, it was so much more than what people shared with us it was going to be like. They told me, Kevin, you could pray tonight, you could be saved by Jesus. I had not a clue that night. I bowed the knee that not only that, but he's going to commune with me. I'm going to hear him from his word. I'm going to actually hear, by the, Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit, just hearing him speak to me at times. I'm going to have peace in the midst of turmoil. I'm going to know that he loves me. He loves those that are around me. I'm going to have all this blessing from this God who I bowed the knee to. And we are going to forever say all these inhabitants of heaven are so blessed because Jesus is made King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what an amazing thing that'll be. And then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quantity, and precious stones. There never again came such abundance of spices as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And, doesn't list the spices that were there. Also, the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, India, again, brought great quantities of almug wood and precious stones from Ophir. And the king made steps of the almug wood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also harps and stringed instruments for singers. There never again came such almug wood, nor has the like been seen to this day. And, they're not sure what kind of wood this is, but it was a beautiful wood imported from these people that was used for instruments and steps, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful wood. Now, King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, besides what Solomon had given her according to the royal generosity. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Now that's all the Bible says here and in the parallel passage in Chronicles, which also describes this same meeting. But there's really strong evidence that there's more to this story. And that is that King Solomon and the Queen of Sheba they slept with each other. And out of that relationship between Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, there was a boy that was born named Menelech. And she did. She left. She left pregnant with Menelech. And again, there's strong evidence that this occurred, which is why I'm pointing it out, what the tradition says happened. I'm not sure. And so I'll leave that out. But then this is what is also, this part of the tradition seems to make a lot of sense for various different reasons. And any of those that have ever seen a really good in-depth study of what happened to the Ark of the Covenant will embellish on this traditional story that comes out of the Middle East. And that is that she went home loving God, loving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, embraced Yahweh. And she said, well, I have a son from Solomon. And so that son was born, was basically raised to be king. And when he was of age, he went to go visit Solomon. And we're going to find out that years later, Solomon has completely gone after idols late in his life. The foreign women turned his heart, we're going to see. And the son, who's been raised to love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and learning the law of God, he comes up there and he goes, whoa, what's happening? And the priests say, you're the son of Solomon. You're a rightful heir. And look at what Solomon has done. And the prophets are telling us judgment is coming to our land because of Solomon. And what we want you to do is we want you to take the ark to Ethiopia. And so the tradition has that either the ark or a copy of the Ark of the Covenant were sent with Menelech and his people, and some priests from Israel who were just leaving the land because of all the debauchery and the idolatry that had crept into the land under Solomon. They went down to Ethiopia and they planted a Jewish presence in the nation of Ethiopia that lasted until our generation. And because there was a great airless. So, and over the years, he became king. He worshipped Yahweh. He allowed the Jewish life to be flourishing in the land. And kings descended from him stayed around, sometimes in power, some not, because of the, you know, history that went on from there, and especially after Jesus came, the Crusades and the rise of Islam and other things. But it was in 1974 that the final ability for the dynasty from Solomon that was wiped out by a communist revolution in Ethiopia. And then there was and because the communist takeover and then subsequently the Islamic takeover of Ethiopia, the Jews that were there, tens of thousands of them were being persecuted. And so the Jews, working with United States of America and other nations, they started sneaking their Jews out of Ethiopia into Sudan doing airlifts, got several thousand out that way. And then in 1991, just 22 years ago, Israel asked the United States to urge Eritrean rebels, these rebels that were taken over and slaughtering their Jewish people, to allow a rescue operation for Ethiopian Jews, spanning the 24th and 25th of May, Operation Solomon Airlifts. That's what it was called. The Jews called it Solomon Airlifts because they knew this history. It went all the way back to this one child that was born to the Queen of Sheba. 14,324 Jews to Israel aboard 34 LL jets in just over 36 hours. And the story continues. It was the greatest humanitarian rescue mission in the history of the world. The Jews rescuing 14,000 Ethiopian Jews who were speaking Hebrew, many of them already, worshiping the God of Israel, were declared by the Jewish rabbis who studied their history and everything. These are truly Jews. These are Jews from the era of Solomon that have lived in Ethiopia for all these years. And today they're assimilated into the Jewish culture after 20-some years, and they talk about them today, the Ethiopian Jews. And actually, many of the Sudanese that have recently come have said, can we come too? Because they want to get away from the Islamic northern government and go, we're black just like our Ethiopian. We have this connection and we were helping. And can we come too? And Israel has shut that door because they just can't. And the same reason we're wanting to shut down our borders, Israel's going, if we leave our doors open for anybody that aren't Jews, then we're going to be lost as a national identity. And so they've shut that door. So, again, it's tragic. Solomon obviously had a problem with the sin of lust. Many people today have the problem with the sin of lust. And it destroyed his life. You know, many people fall into sin. It's such a dichotomy we have. We know we don't want to sin. We know that God doesn't want us to sin. But when we do sin, the scriptures say there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, and that all things work out together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And it just amazes me that even though Solomon so sinned, I mean, he so went downhill, he so led the nation into idolatry, as we're seeing, yet her coming was praised by Jesus. Jesus praised her coming. Jesus knew what happened, but she didn't go there to fall into sin. She went there to seek wisdom. She was overwhelmed, and however it happened in the situation that developed, she went back repentant, wanting to serve God, raised a son to serve God, and they served God, and they created a history that lasted for over 1,000 years, 3,000 years. And good came out of it. And how much good? You know, again, now King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired, sent her back home. 1,000 years later, roughly, there's a man, an Ethiopian eunuch, a eunuch to the king, queen of the time of Jesus. And he's going to Jerusalem for a feast. There's a feast and he's there and he bought the scroll of Isaiah. Why would he buy the scroll of Isaiah? Because he's in the Jewish culture of Ethiopia that started because of this sin that happened way back when. And so he's reading the scroll, and God tells Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch, or it tells Philip to go to the Ethiopian eunuch and join yourself to him and explain the scriptures to him in Acts chapter 8. And Philip just obeys. Word of knowledge comes to God. Go grab that guy and talk to him. And they go, oh, I'm glad you're here. I have a question. Is this speaking about Jesus or about somebody? Is this man, Isaiah, speaking about himself or another? And it says that from there and on, Philip explained to that Ethiopian eunuch, Jesus is the Messiah. And so then that man goes down to the Ethiopian Jews and he says, you know what? Our Old Testament scriptures, our Old Covenant scriptures talk about our Messiah. I have just found out that Messiah has come, and a Christian Jewish presence started in Ethiopia that lasted until today. And in fact, it's Christian. It's a form of a Christian Ethiopian church that supposedly has the Ark of the Covenant inside of one of their buildings, which they're not letting anybody go in. And I don't know that it's there. It doesn't really matter that it's there. But Christianity spread because of this one Ethiopian unit that had come and visited with Philip. And actually, if you read in Isaiah on from there, it talks about the Ethiopian eunuch that if a eunuch comes to seek God, then they will find him. And, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch would have been reading that. So verse 14, the weight of the gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold, 666 talents of gold. Don't know why that was the case, knowing that that was going to be used for something else. And what it said that the Queen of Sheba gave 120 talents. And so now we do actually know how much she brought. She brought 1/6, basically, of $3.8 billion. Because my Bible says it was $3.8 billion. I worked it out from another source that says how much a talent was worth, 666 talents, by one biblical study source says that's 25 metric tons. So you take 25 metric tons, which is 2205 pounds per ton, and divide that, you know, 16 ounces to a pound, and that's a lot of ounces, and it's $1,700, or at $1,700 roughly dollars per ounce as it is today. I work it out that's about, about $1.5 billion. So, $1.5, $3 billion, a lot of money for a king to be having at a time that the world population was less than 100 million. It was pretty amazing sum of money. Besides that, besides the 3.8 or whatever billion dollars that came from those guys, there was traveling merchants that brought everything else from the income of traders and from all the kings of Arabia and from the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of gold went into each shield. Shekels are a little bit better understood as the weight, about $30,000 worth of gold per shield. By today's prices, he also made 300 shields of hammered gold. 3 minas of gold went into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Imagine, a shield. I mean, a shield is just a thing you make for war, and you make it clad with gold. Amazing. I wouldn't even want to. Could I please have one that doesn't made of lead? I have to carry that around into battle. And Solomon goes, heavier than lead, gold. And Solomon said, oh, it's just for decoration. Just cut, we want to have everything in gold. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round at the back. There were armrests on either side in the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the armrest. People have made pictures of, trying to depict what it must have looked like, and it's, amazing. 12 lions stood there, one on each side of the 6 steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom. And we saw from Ecclesiastes that Solomon devoted his life to making stuff, to look for pleasure, to look for the satisfaction in making things, to doing things with his money, to doing things with what he knew. And he kept saying it's all vanity. So he made his 6 steps where it's big enough. Each step was big enough for a lion on each side going up. And his whole throne's covered in gold, ivory, all this stuff that was imported, just hundreds of millions of dollars for his throne, probably. And he sat there and goes, what? It's vanity. What good's the throne? And do we see it today? No, it's probably It's probably, some of it's on your ring finger, you know, in your teeth, or who knows. That wherever that gold came from, you know, whatever gold went into that, obviously that all got stolen by people. It's all been in the gold repositories of the world. It was all for nothing. It amounted to nothing. I ran into a guy yesterday. We took our grandkids roller skating, and I hadn't seen him since I quit the shipyard 19 years ago. And he said, "Hey, Kevin, you know, I mean, remember we were, you did that stuff, and man, your group, you saved a bunch of money, and you know, that was, and you went into the ministry and stuff. I just can't believe you did that." And I said, "I wanted to do something important. Yeah, I mean, we saved money, but for what? So we had a $16 trillion deficit? I mean, what good?" I was sensing that too. At the time, I was sensing, as God was calling me, maybe not you, but I was sensing, what is this really? When I get done, I feel like God's called me to do ministry, and what I'm doing is important. They're appreciating it, but what is it really accomplishing? As God was saying, "What are you going to do with your life, Kevin? You're going to serve me, you're going to do this." And I was saying, you know, I'm going to get done, I'm going to get retired, I'm going to look around, I'm going to say, for what? For the Obama world that we're heading into, for the collapse of the economy, for everything else. And you know what? I want all you guys that are shipyard people to say, you know, God's using you, and he's getting, you know, this was just what he was speaking to me. It's not for speaking to anybody else. And I just sensed it, and I was able to share with the guy yesterday. And I'm just so, it's so much better, Glenn. I sense that I get to tell people about Jesus, you know, to just see if he'd bite. He didn't bite. And maybe someday I'll see him again. But it's because it's what's important. And look around, even as we're Christians, if we've got our jobs and everything else, realize none of that's going to matter. If you're in a job, realize that what's going to really matter is your testimony of the people that are around you. God might have put you there to be in that ministry to somebody there that gets saved. That's what's going to matter. What you testify of Him, the way you're a witness for Him, that is what matters. Once for the king, verse 21, all King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Not one was silver. For this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. Now, today they call silver a poor man's gold. You know, if you buy silver, if you can't afford gold. In Solomon's day, it was like, "You got silver? I mean, what do you got silver for?" For the king had merchant ships at sea with the fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the merchant's ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. Don't know why he liked apes and monkeys. The Bible doesn't tell us. They're vicious creatures, as some people have found out. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Each man brought his present: articles of silver and gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, and mules, at a set rate year by year. And again, amazing that there was a time when men were willing to give their fortunes in exchange of some wisdom from a man, from a mere man. And yet today, people are not again willing to come to Jesus and to get everlasting life. Verse 26, and actually God gave the riches of his son to save us. These men gave their riches to go hear Solomon. God the Father sent the riches of his son to die on the cross so that we could have some wisdom. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king of Jerusalem. And you can go to Israel today. As I've mentioned before, you can see some of the stables, the ruins of horse stables that date back to Solomon's day. And he was forbidden by the law to accumulate horses, but he did so anyway, like he did other things that were unlawful. The king made silver, in verse 27, as common in Jerusalem as stones, and he made cedar trees as abundant as the sycamores which are in the lowland. Also, Solomon had horses imported from Egypt in Kaveh, which is southern Turkey. The king's merchants brought them in Kaveh at the current price, bought them in Kaveh at the current price. Now, a chariot that was imported from Egypt cost 600 shekels of silver, and a horse 150, and thus, through their agents, they exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Syrians. And the Hittites were, Turkey today, parts of Turkey in Solomon's day, and Syria. So, again, amazing that Solomon was just involved in international arms trade because of his wealth. And then, we recently had this skirmish with the Gazans in Israel where the Iron Dome system performed to shoot down a good percentage of the missiles that were coming towards Israel. And now all the nations are saying, we want to buy your Iron Dome system that are being threatened by their neighbors with missiles. And so it's amazing. We'll read the first two verses of chapter 11 and then pick this up next week. But King Solomon loved many wives, many foreign women. King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, his first wife. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites are Jordanians today. Sidonians were Lebanese. Hittites were further up north towards Turkey. From the nation of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in lust. The Bible says love, but we know it was lust. Girls are well taught by their fathers. If they sit there when somebody says I love you, when some teenage kid or whatever is telling you I love you in junior high, or actually you have to go to grade school these days, I love you in grade school, please daughter, listen, translate in your brain, when you hear love from them, they're saying I lust you, and do not listen to them. They are lying to you and they're trying to destroy you. And wait until somebody really knows what love is and ask them to define what they mean by love before you give them the time of day before they destroy your life. I was reading an article today that they're saying AIDS is completely epidemic in our young culture and they don't even know they have it. They're over half of the people that are walking around with AIDS in the 18 to 25, if I remember the statistics right, what was it? 13 to 26. 13 to 26, there's thousands more every year, thousands more. At the average cost per person is $1 million in the treatment for lice. So, crank the numbers out. We're deteriorating completely financially as a result of this curse. And the article says that the Center of Disease Control people are blaming on the homophobia, because if there wasn't so much homophobia, then because a lot of it is in the culture of these young people being told the homosexual lifestyle is okay. So many of them in that young age are experimenting with a homosexual lifestyle, and they're not getting tested because the homophobia is, well, we can't come out of the closet and say, well, I've been having this immoral relationship, and so I want to get tested. So they're not testing, and so then they're spreading it, and it's becoming a curse. And I was reading the article, they want to blame it on. We're so done. And I fear for our young children. It's why we fought this same-sex marriage thing. Apparently all for naught. Our state has gone down this path. But what we can do, guys, you can tell your children, if you do what Solomon did, then when you die, probably young, when you die, there's going to be, she did all these wonderful things when she was a young girl. We have all these fond memories of her. We have these fond memories of this guy. And, he mowed the yard and did things for me. Had a great relationship with him. But they believed the lie. They started living the ways of the world that their teachers taught, the mandatory sex education classes in high school and junior high, which they had to attend. And they started listening and they started being deceived away because their peers were telling them, and they died as a result. And it's going to be tragic. You know, I want to serve Jesus. I want to be bold in communicating to my sons and daughters, sons and granddaughters, the importance of not having a but in our memorial service. I don't want a but in my memorial service. How many here want a but in your memorial service? No. We want, and they serve Jesus, and they faithfully punch through that finish line. They ran the race, as Paul said. I don't want to just beat the air. I want to fight the fight, and I want to finish. I want to go all the way to the end. Solomon didn't go to the end. He paid for it, tragically, and the whole nation paid for it, as we're going to find out. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we pray for great protection upon our children. And wisdom, God, that we could have wisdom as parents and grandparents, and how to see the devil and his ways trying to creep into their lives, and pray for them, and use your wisdom, God, to direct them and to steer them away from the deceptions of the enemy. If somebody so wise and great and as Solomon was so deceived in this area of lust that so destroyed his life, then we know that none of us are above reproach, Lord. None of us are above being deceived in a way that could really ruin our witness. And God, that you would help us to keep our eyes and mind on the things of you, Lord, and to turn away from evil. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God in this closing song. Violin. Praise God. Trust Him. He's coming soon. Amen. God bless.